Congresswoman Claudia Tenney is Congresswoman-elect from New York's 22nd District. And I guess the first question I want to ask you is gun rights. Now, you've been a frequent SAFE Act critic. What problems do you have with the New York SAFE Act?
You want me to list? First of all, the SAFE Act is not, I don't think it complies. I think it goes beyond the Second Amendment. I think it puts too many restrictions on legal gun owners. I think it was put together hastily. It was a bunch of terrible bills were all cobbled together and called the SAFE Act. Some of the restrictions on the ability to transfer guns, for example, from one family member to another, or from, you know, a legal gun, for example, if I own a .22 rifle, I can't sell it to my neighbor down the street who's a farmer, for example. I have to go through a gun dealer and go through that. This kind of stuff is, to me, is really limiting. And also, right now, some of it's being litigated, but the artificial ban on the so-called assault weapon and the number of bullets that you can have in a magazine, you know, limited to 7, which I think that right now it's in the court system, but the appellate level at least overturned the 7, you know, to it's back to 10. Many of these things are artificial. You know, the most lethal type of weapon that you can own is actually a shotgun. It does the most damage if you were to have a shotgun and shoot people. And most gun crimes that involve long guns, of which there are maybe an average of 4 or 5 a year in the state of New York, believe it or not, those are done with shotguns, which are perfectly legal. You can do whatever you want with a shotgun. You can make it look like an assault rifle if you want. But anyway, I think a lot of this comes down to knowledge and understanding the difference between what guns are. I think a lot of people from New York City should come and learn about what the differences are. I'm a gun advocate. I support the Second Amendment. And one thing that I would say that where there is some weakness, and I point to the Orlando situation where there was actually the problem is in the database. So when you go to buy a gun, what's put in the database on an individual's background is also often censored so that we may not know about somebody's mental illness or their interest in maybe getting involved in terrorist activities. That's all redacted from your background check. So when you go to do a background check, I think that is the integrity of the database, is how good wait 3 or 4 days, but when you're going to the same database, what's the difference if it's today or 3 days later my concern. So I would say reinforcing the integrity of the database is something that I think we should definitely look at, and being able to really know who's going to be purchasing a gun. There's all this, the gun show loophole, myth that's out there. You cannot purchase a gun without going through a NICS check through the federal government. It's just a fact. So a lot of people claim that that's not true, but that is true. So that's why I say the database is something that I would be willing to look at. But I know very few lawful gun owners who commit crimes. I mean, usually illegal gun violence is usually happening in New York City, where you can't even carry anyway. So legal gun owners cannot carry, firearms there or handguns. So it's an interesting issue that I think we need more advocates like me talking about education and having people understand firearms and what it's about. I will also add that I have Remington Arms in the heart of my assembly district and my congressional district. They're celebrating their 200th year this year. They're very important to our community in terms of jobs. They've been providing firearms originally for our armed services, but they also provide it for our sports community and also for personal protection. They provide wonderful jobs. The UMWA is the union that has been very supportive of me, and I'm supportive of them, to keep at Remington Arms in New York, where its historical roots are, and we want to keep it there. And, knee-jerk reactions like the SAFE Act have caused some of the lines to leave, although things are good at Remington right now. We would like to continue to manufacture guns in Ilion because it's a tradition and it's important to our communities.
Okay, so I want to switch from that difficult subject to another one, which is abortion. Now, you are pro-life and have been, have very strong opinions on this. I guess I wanted to ask you, what happens if somebody a niece or, a grandniece or somebody is faced with having a child? Would you tell them, I'm against allowing women to have abortions, and tough on you?
I would do everything I could to encourage that woman to have the child. Mm. I think it's really important to protect life. I think a culture that doesn't protect and revere life is a culture in decline. And I understand there are certain realities. I mean, right now it's a constitutional issue. If, for example, the Supreme Court were to overturn Roe v. Wade, it would leave it up to the states, and likely many of the states, like New York, would maintain their abortion rights that they have now. That would I would still be an advocate for life. I think it's a really important issue as a woman, especially as a mother. I think we need to be telling our daughters to be careful and to be careful what they do with their bodies, to make sure that what they're getting engaging in is careful and safe, as opposed to saying, hey, you know, we have abortion on demand. You can just go ahead and, you know, have an abortion any old time you want without considering what you're doing. One fact that a lot of people don't realize, especially in New York, on average, 5,000 women in the state of New York are having their fifth or more abortion. To me, that is an epidemic. That's a problem when women are viewing it as just a means of birth control and not a very serious issue dealing with the life of another human being.
What about rape and incest?
I've accepted those exceptions. I've indicated that legally that I would accept those, although I'd love to see us still revere the human life that's still there. Just because you're the product of a rape or an incest, I mean, you're still a human life. So we are making a rational decision to say that this life is not worth saving for whatever reason. And I do find I have a problem with that. But right now that's the law, and I respect the law. But I would like to always, wherever I am in my life, always advocate for the most needy in our communities, whether it's unborn children, our seniors, people with special needs. All those people need to be protected, who need people like me who are strong and are healthy to stand for them, and people that don't have a voice. And that's who I see myself as. I think it's we have to restore the culture that we have in our communities. And I think, you know, sometimes I think we've lost sight of that in our zest to, you know, rationalize away the life of another human being.
Claudia Tenney, I only have one last question for you, and I only have a minute and a half, so you have to answer it fast. And that is, you have had a checkered relationship, I think it's fair to say, with retiring Republican Congressman Richard Hanna. Are you repairing the breach there or not?
You know, I've never go into politics to make friends. I go into politics to advocate for my community. I supported Richard Hanna when he ran. I stood with him at every Tea Party rally that he was at, where he espoused all the Tea Party things that they want to hear, and they literally carried him across the finish line to defeat a very popular incumbent Democrat, Mike Arcuri. It's all about, to me, it's a professional situation. I am very professional and always respectful of Richard Hanna. I don't think he's always been that way to me, but I always reach out to him, and I have here, and I've tried to work with him in the transition, and I respect a lot of people that work in his office, and some of his, you know, we agree on some things. I was instrumental in helping Richard Hanna get elected in the first place, so I respect everyone that runs for office and takes on the difficult task, as I do Richard Hanna. So I'm hoping that he is going to enjoy his retirement and with his young children, who are, you know, wonderful, and his beautiful wife. So I have no hard feelings with Richard Hanna. This is not about a social issue. This is about advocating for our community and doing what we can, which is best. So it's really about the voters in our community. It doesn't matter what my relationship with Richard Hanna is, though I'm sure it will be fine later on.
It's great to talk to Republican Congresswoman-elect Claudia Tenney of New York's 22nd District. And Claudia, we hope we can see you back here a lot during your tenure.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, Alan, and good luck, and enjoy the snow and the holidays.
We will.
Same to you. Thank you.